B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
Game where they were able to establish that run, continue to use that run, and then exploit the deep ball. Once they suckered in that defense, they were able to go over the top on them time and time again. When they started out, Trey, I thought the game plan was garbage. Mm-hmm. And I thought Doug was, no question about it, trying to make this team kind of ease into the game. Not just Carson, but everybody else on this offense, he looked like he was trying to ease into the season. By that third quarter, the gloves were off.
Yeah.
And it was just about pounding the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, whenever you start off the game with an empty backfield, you're like, oh, no. Here we go. You know, you're trying to force it. I think that you're trying to put way too much on Carson right away. Let him. That's the way. If you're going to ease him into the game, ease him into the game by running the ball. Let your offensive line get out there, push some guys around. Let's get the backs upfield. Let's go ahead and do it like that. Don't put him in empty backfield and make him have to make a throw.
You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. Reacting to this incredible 32 to 27 victory over the Washington Redskins to start out the season yesterday. Started out shaky. People a little nervous. Thank you, social media, for keeping us aware of that. But people were a little nervous in this game, and rightfully so. They were getting beat. They were missing tackles in the early goings of this game. Like we just said, Doug Peterson's game plan seemed like it was a little timid. Big balls Doug didn't look like he brought those big balls to the stadium. And then all of a sudden, the second half, things changed a little bit. Jim Schwartz defense, I will say this, it couldn't tackle and also looked confused. The Andrew Sendejo missed tackle on Vernon Davis, where he just ran down the football field and put him up 7-0 in the early goings of the game. Ronald Darby missing a tackle as well. But Andrew Sendejo, people will focus
also
in on
also dropped a pick for Darby.
Yeah.
Darby also lost.
Oh, yeah,
that,
pick.
Yeah, that would have been a nice one.
Come on, man.
A little bit later in the game, yeah. But Andrew Sendejo, the thing that got me about that, yeah, he's supposed to be a big hitter, so yeah, he missed the tackle. But even before that, stopped covering Vernon Davis.
Yeah, he stumbled in coverage. It was bad.
Did he stumble or did he adjust thinking the throw was going across the middle of the field?
I thought he kind of caught his toe on the turf and stumbled.
I thought he was reading Case Keenum and Case kind of looked him off the pattern. And because he looked like he adjusted. I thought he was making an adjustment. I didn't think he made a stumble.
I thought he slightly stumbled. We'll go back and look at it. But either way, not good.
No, either way, a negative. I thought what you thought. Because as soon as I said, where the hell are you going? I thought he came off and saw a running back coming out of the backfield or something like that. Yeah, we'll have to take a look at it. Jim, if you think he stumbled. But my first reaction was, where the hell are you going? You had good coverage. Mm-hmm. And then he just kind of, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if he lost sight, if he had a brain fart. I don't know what it was.
Whatever it was.
Maybe it was the stumble that Jamie said.
I was surprised to see him out in that position that early in the game. I'm like, don't we have a couple of safeties that are pretty damn good? He's the guy that's going to be covering the tight end in this situation? All right. Have at it. But here's the thing, and this is our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. During the course of the game, did you ever doubt that the Birds would win? Did you ever doubt it? We have a comment here, Travis Jones saying, man, I thought we was toast. I think that's how most people thought going into this game, coming out of that first quarter, that they were toast. And here's the thing that you love having DeSean Jackson here for. Now, it turns out, and we'll get back to this a little bit later in the program, DeSean, great leader in the locker room. He addressed the team at halftime, told him that the Redskins thought they already had the game won. He's like, I've been over there in that Redskins locker room. They think they already won this game. And guess what? They had another thing coming because D-Jax had a couple of home runs right there. He had the home run the first half, home run the second half. Mm-hmm. And that's what he brings to the table here. It's the instant offense, Trey. You can have those struggles in the early goings of games. You can have some brain farts. You can have a game plan that maybe isn't the best game plan, or maybe it's just not being executed the way it should be. But whatever it is, you can cover up a lot of mistakes if you have a guy hitting 3-run home runs for you. And that's and forget about just the home run style of offense that DeSean Jackson can give you, that threat. This guy's hitting 3-run bombs. This guy is getting it done in your offense for you. He can cover up a lot of a little sputtering out of the gate. He can cover up a little bit of rust. He is instant offense. And it's no wonder how the Eagles were able to score those 28 points in, 7 minutes against the Giants all those years ago before Christmas? In the third miracle of the Meadowlands, because they have that playmaking ability with a guy like DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, well, you know what? You don't want to try that with too many with a better team, you know, to get down like that. Especially what helped them with being able to take this over is that they shut down their run game. I mean, you know, your defense. Now, one thing that our defense, we didn't create a lot of pressure. We didn't get a lot of hits on. Well, we got 7 hits on the quarterback. We gave up and we got 1 sack. But, you know, they went out there and held Washington to 28 yards rushing.
Well, is it? Let me ask this. Is it fair, though? Because we talked about the idea of what if they struggle, right? We talked about Brandon Brooks if he doesn't play. We talked about if Brandon Brooks doesn't play. Do they feel like they can get away with Vitae? Let's say that Brandon Brooks going into yesterday's game, and I really have no doubt that he was really, what, 85%? I don't think he was 100. Mm-hmm. I think he got the most out of what he had, and he was still great. But I think they went into that game, and they said, all right, if they don't play Brandon Brooks, then you got Vitae. You can get away with Vitae against this team. You can get away with Carson Wentz not playing any preseason in this game because it won't take long for him to knock that rust off, right? Is it at all fair to look at this team and say they went into this game looking at the Redskins as a team that was really going to be their 5th preseason game?
Possibly.
And they could be confident that they would be able to overcome any struggles in the early goings?
I don't know. I'm glad it worked out.
I'll tell you what. Put it this way. It's not going to work against the Falcons next week.
No.
Especially there.
This Sunday night, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work against the Redskins. That's not going to work against the Falcons like it did against the Skins.
No. You don't want to ever give a team that many points right out the gate. You know, like I said, that sometimes can. It's good. It shows the mentality of this squad to be able to give up that, to be in the hole like that, and for them to say, you know what, we got this. That says a lot about your squad.
It showed me. First off, I had said from the early goings of training camp that Deshaun and Carson looked like they had been playing together for 10 years. Now, you can obviously grade that on a curve when you're not throwing slant routes to him, but he certainly was targeting him enough. He was certainly going his way enough in this game. And obviously the two big plays that happened were the plays that happened in the end zone between those two. They looked like they had a great chemistry going throughout this game. Mike and KOP, happy official football season, Mike.
So happy official football season to you, too.
Thank you, sir.
I enjoyed our banner over the weekend. Always, baseball.
Always a pleasure, brother.
Hey, Mike, real quick, Phillies, 2 games out.
Why you gotta do that? Why you gotta do that, bro?
Real quick, no one cares about baseball.
just to start off with, this Darren Sproles thing really bothers me. Like, I don't know why Doug is so obsessed with a 37-year-old running back, but, like, can we... We drafted a guy and we brought in a guy. Can we just play the guys that are young and can play and like can run? Like, I'm over. I love Darren Sproles, but I'm over it. Like, I don't know why they brought him back.
They did,
like,
the same thing with him last year. Do you remember that, Mike?
He's obsessed with him. Like, I don't know if he has pictures of him, and he's like, "You're gonna play me. I'm putting pictures out on the internet." Like, I don't get it. Like, I just don't. He's, like, undersized and he's old. Like, I don't get it.
Well, it wasn't like he wasn't having success. Yeah, he was making some runs for you.
But I'd rather see the new guys that we got to play, and Darren shouldn't be getting that many carries.
Sanders, like, struggled, though, brother.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And then, Jamie, this is to you. We have to refine the parameters of our bet because your guy didn't even start the game, so how do we say that Sidney Jones is going to have a good season or not? What are the parameters here?
I think it's like one of those things. It's like, you know, when is it porn? You know.
Well, I think, yeah. Hold on.
When the nipple makes an appearance type of thing. Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion for your bet, Mike?
He looked good in the second half, Mike. Come on.
Let's wait till, if this is a bet. Now, look, I'm never one to say wait and see.
It's the big old breakfast sandwich bet.
Yeah, oh, like, damn. No, but hold on, Mike. What I'm saying is now, I'm never one to say wait and see, but if you have a bet, then you legitimately have to wait till week 17
over. I'm not saying it's over. I'm just saying you're fine. What makes a successful season for Sidney Jones? Because he was supposed to be a starter, and he's not getting a starter. So,
all right, well, I guess if he starts the majority of the game?
Yeah, well, we'll have to take it as we go, Mike.
And plays well?
I gotta say, as glad as I am that the Eagles came roaring back, to Trey's point, you can't play games like that in the NFL. Like, you can't hurt teams that kind of lead because you're not playing the Washington Redskins every week, and that defense looked atrocious to start, and it was embarrassing. And I got so mad, I literally, like, just had to turn it off and come back to it. Like, because I was just like, and I was freaking out. Like, I was upsetting the dogs in the house. My wife was not thrilled about it. Like, I was a very angry, upset individual in that first half.
We all were, Mike. Thanks for the call, man. And again, happy football season to you. I think we all were pretty pissed off because we expected a little bit more out of the team. I was looking at it as, when I saw the touchdown to Deshaun, the rust was off. 4 minutes, 21 seconds left in that first half. Rust was off. It was time to go. It was go time.
Yeah.
Either that or Wendell Smallwood is a Lion SOB, and he actually did give the plays to the Redskins.
I had, so Donna turns to me at one point yesterday when it was 21-0. She goes, like, no scream, or not 21-0, it was 17-0. No screaming, no hollering. What's going on here? And I said, I don't know. I'm trying to get, like, a feel. I think, Mark, you hit it last week. You said you thought they were going to come out rusty, and you anticipated.
I didn't. I was the opposite.
I said, no, I think they're coming downhill right away. I thought they would start the way they started the second half. But, yeah, it's just, I don't want to say I thought they were going to lose. I really didn't. But when they hit that home run, when they hit the touchdown for the 17 to make it 17-7, I was like, okay, there it is. I think the whole Delaware Valley was like, okay, there it is. Here you go.
There it is.
And that's what started. Yeah, you hit it on the head last week. We got to give you props where they're deserved, Mark.
Bob, please go on. We have three
that's
more hours
I got.
Left.
Nope, that's it.
Bob, did you want to talk about my tweet where I said Deshaun and Wentz were going to hit connect on a 56-yard touchdown?
I didn't see that, Jamie. I was concentrating.
Because if you want to throw some bouquets my way, I'm here for it.
I'm good.
Okay.
Oh, right. You
just wanted to give you that chance.
610-632-09.
I'll throw some on Trey later, but you're out.
Trey, we've talked about this a little bit. I want to get back into it, but there was a term brought up yesterday that I've never heard before in football.
Uh-huh.
I've never heard the term before in football.
Okay.
I'm going to get your thoughts on it.
Hut-huts? You've heard that, Mark. Don't ask coy now.
When the huts messed up.
When the huts are messed up, the whole offense is out of sync.
Did you see Pizza Hut is doing the hut, like a hut award or something?
Hut-hut-hut?
Yeah, they're doing something with huts, and I was dying yesterday.
Hut-hut-hut-hut. Somebody's tweeting us right now. You know damn well, Jamie Lynch. When the point.
Yeah, you can't really read that
I can't read that. I was like, let me stop. I'm done. I'm not going to read the rest of that. 610-632-0975. Trey helps us define a new football term. Coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
See Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday wearing the watch?
I didn't know that until Jamie said something today.
While he was playing.
What the hell is that?
Man, why are wide receivers crazy?
Not any watch, Mark. Do you know the price tag of said watch?
It's like $7,000 or something like that?
No. Multiply that by a lot. $350,000 watch. He wore it in-game.
Samsonite? I was way off.
Swimmy, Swami.
Wow.
$350,000.
Takes a licking and keep on ticking.
I mean, that's brilliant marketing.
I thought, but hold on a second. I thought, yeah, that's great and all. But isn't Baker Mayfield supposed to be better than Carson Wentz or something like that?
Delanie Walker was awesome yesterday.
Delanie Walker, I wanted to hug. All right, because I have it on my list here, things I want to get into, because that's something that needs to... Did you see the rant Delanie Walker had? Now, here's the thing. It's the day after an Eagles game, so I don't know how much people give a rat's ass about somebody from the Titans.
Are you talking about Delanie Walker? Nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares. Right, but anyway, we will get to that later, because it is that amazing. It is that amazing. But real quick, Trey, before you define... Or at least tell us what this new football term is. Sam, go ahead and give us an update on our Twitter poll, please, brought to you by Window Nation.
This morning we asked, during the course of the game, did you ever doubt the Birds would win? We have just under 1,200 votes so far. 65% admit, yes, they did
there
doubt them.
There you go. There you go, people. At least you're being honest with yourselves. That Window Nation brings us that Twitter poll. Get 50% off any style window at Window Nation. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. So Brandon Brooks surprised us all a little bit, Trey. Surprised us all a little bit because he played yesterday.
Yes.
And not only did he play, I believe it was 55 snaps. The right guard the Philadelphia Eagles was out there for. Back-to-back Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Right? And so Brandon Brooks goes out there. We thought he wasn't going to play. You know, this is the Redskins. You might not have to play all your best guys against Washington. Why not give them that extra day, right? Yeah, but Brandon Brooks said, to hell with that.
Yeah.
And you had a little theory on that. What was your theory?
I think that he went to the team and was like, hey, man, I'm ready to go. Put me in the game, coach.
Yeah, there you go. Put me in the game.
Just being a gladiator. And being an offensive lineman.
He played 55 snaps.
Yeah.
But he was only supposed to play 30. And the reason is because of this new football term, he was on a snap count.
Yeah.
I've heard of a pitch count. I've heard of load management. That's where you manage a player's load, right? So when you look at all that, and you look at Brandon Brooks playing yesterday, he played over...
that's kind of funny.
What?
It was just the way you
said it. What are you cackling about? Nothing. Moving on.
Just...
No rabbit hole.
These are football terms.
I missed it. Talking Eagles.
These are football terms that you need not really concern yourself. There you go. So you have this guy, it's Brandon Brooks, and he goes out there, 30 snap count. And what the hell's a snap count?
Yeah, to me, I always thought that snap count was, hey, that's cadence. That's what I always taught. Hey,
two huts as opposed to one.
Yeah, here's the snap count. It's on one.
Hot.
Yeah, but no, this is something totally different, something new.
Yo.
I mean, you know what, Doug and that man, they are cutting edge when it comes to stuff like this. I mean, you know, when it's like, it's the look squat, and then it's the grass.
The look squat.
You know, hey, we get it done on the grass. Everything matters.
You got to get on the grass.
Yeah, I mean, and then now it's the snap count.
What was your snap count when you were a player?
We start and we finish.
First and last.
My snap count was active.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That was active or inactive. But you don't miss games.
Nah.
You didn't miss games, sir.
No. 183 starts here for the Philadelphia Eagles he had.
Not many. Didn't miss many.
When I saw that he was playing, I went, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I was like, how the hell did that happen? And then I talked to you today, and we won't talk about our conversation yesterday. It was private matters. But we had at the tailgate, good times.
Yeah, good times.
But by the way, when we interviewed you with the camera, none of that will make air. Don't worry.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, yeah. Because I warned you.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to be on camera right now.
Uh-huh.
Nah. I'm enjoying the tailgate. I'm tailgating. Fourth and joint. Right.
So what are we talking about? Like, yeah. You got me saying that like, a couple times to me, and I was like, this is beautiful. maybe I'll just get the film, the tape, and we'll just watch it and laugh. Man of the people, Trey Thomas, just hanging out with the tailgaters yesterday. They were the Fourth and Drawn podcast, having themselves a hell of a time. Good times by all. But
I was kind
of
bummed I couldn't make it down there yesterday.
It was pretty wild.
Yeah, it looked like a great time.
Perfect day for some tailgating.
Oh, my God.
Did I get a little sunburn? I haven't looked in the mirror. God bless you guys.
Were you wearing the fedora?
That was a...
He was cool. NBC Sports thing going.
I like to call it the Bronze in the Dome.
Had a Washington affiliate in there.
Oh, there you go.
We had a kid from Washington. We had a guy from Washington come up. Washington, the Redskins insider, as they say.
Okay.
But no, it was a great time had by all at the 4th and John tailgate. So it was fun. We'll get into another little story that happened at the tailgate yesterday as well that's making some headlines, unfortunately. But we'll get into a little bit later. So the snap count I had never really heard of. Like a snap watch. So I'm watching Brandon Brooks go out there, and I'm saying to myself, my man... I didn't know what to make of it, but my man's got to still be fighting through that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think he was going to play.
Me either.
And then your thought was he went to the team and just said, no, to hell with it. I'm playing.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
These guys need me.
Yeah. For Brandon coming off of this injury the way it was, I thought that he would have gotten another week of just... He hadn't practiced all week.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the limited practice.
Right.
So just going off of that, I'm thinking, I don't think he's going to play. But, hey... He went in and was like, you know what? I feel good. Let's go. You know what, man? Just kudos to him. The work that he's been putting in. You know, you have the training staff that's been working with him. But he's put in the work to put himself in that position to go out there and put it in. Because he wanted, and that shows you how much he feels about this group, that he's like, you know what? I want to be out there for you, Carson, and for the rest of these guys.
All right, let's get to our boy Graf in media. Graf, how you feeling, bro?
Well, I'm feeling fantastic, yo. Screaming from the Hoover Dam was a great time.
Now, that was you at the Hoover Dam screaming what? Go Birds?
Yeah, absolutely. Being as loud as possible. All the Lake Mead Basin now understands the Birds are the only team that matters.
I love people that do the bird, the like an Eagles chant or a Go Birds or Fly Eagles Fly in random places around the world that should have no idea. Now, Hoover Dam's still America, so people should at least know. But to get the little echo going there at the Hoover Dam, pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty damn awesome. Also, the dam tour was fantastic.
I've heard the dam tour is pretty amazing.
Yeah, just don't do it in September because it was like 115 degrees. So it was definitely worth it, kind of. But other than that, it was a great time.
Where'd you watch the game, Graf?
I got home at like 6:30 yesterday morning, so I slept for like 4 hours, woke up, crawled out of bed, got in the car, went to my parents' house and watched it there. it was an incredibly long weekend, but
Graf, that's the most Graf thing you've ever told me.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've done a lot more Graf things, dude. Yeah, that one was a good one. But, I wish I got to the 4th of July tailgate. I wanted to go, but I couldn't manage it. But I do want to talk this bird thing real quick. I think it's funny because in that first half, I was like chilling with my dad, and I just told him, I was like, you know, this isn't a bad team. I don't really see how they don't wind up making it interesting. I was like, I also don't really see how they wind up losing. Like, a bad team loses that game 21-7 and doesn't score points in the second and allows them to keep scoring. So, I don't know. I never really felt like they were out of it, and I never really actually felt like they were going to lose. And kudos to Carson Wentz coming out yesterday and just proving the entire nation wrong. Fact that, you know, you don't really need a preseason game to be good. Homeboy looked like 2017 Carson Wentz. D-Jack looked amazing. Granted, the defense wasn't all that great. And I just have a question. Does anybody know what happened to Malik Jackson? He left in a boot.
Still waiting. MRIs later today. So we're just waiting to see what's what.
What happens now? Who's his backup? What's the backup?
Stud Muffin.
Well, Stud Muffin gets bumped up a little bit there. You know, I think, Trey, I know you called him Stud Muffin last week.
Uh-huh.
I think it's just going to stick.
Yeah, I think so. I got to go ahead and ride with Stud
Muffin. He told me that's not his name, and I'm like, okay.
That's it. Now it's out.
If J.J. Arcega-Whiteside tells me his name's Arcega-Whiteside, and I call him Arcega-Whiteside then, if Tim Jernigan says my name's not Stud Muffin, I guess I'm just going to ignore it and be like, no, your name's Stud Muffin.
Yeah, you're Stud Muffin.
And Hassan Ridgeway, come on down.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You'll get some opportunities here.
Tee off on it.
No guy walks around with them gold teeth in. I'm not sure I would call him anything else other than what he was called, you know?
So exactly.
He's a little terrified. But, hey, Trey, what was the big change yesterday in the game that, in the second half, what do you think played the biggest role in the Birds winning yesterday? You guys have a great rest of your week.
You too, brother. Thanks, man.
Our ability to run the ball. I think just running the ball helped us with sustaining some of these drives. I mean, we went out there and just pounded. The offensive line started taking over the game. The protection was already there. They didn't have where Carson was scrambling around, getting his head knocked off. I think they did a really good job of protecting. But also, I think they just changing that offensive line, the line of scrimmage, being able to run the ball and sustain drives.
Trey, if you're putting on a clinic, and I know you have, and they've included throat punches for children, just show them how to do that. The interesting thing here is on that drive,
that wrong?
On the third quarter, it's tactical, Bob. It's tactical.
That's what I
figured. Teaching the kids how to, you know, move people.
How to protect yourself.
The Eagles come out of the third drive, right? 12 plays.
Yeah.
Three passes.
Yeah.
Now, one of those runs was a QB sneak to get a first down on a 4th-and-1. Great call by Doug and great play call as well. Not just a great decision, but great play call as well. Carson Wentz up the middle, rides his man, Jason Kelce. They get the first down. Then they get the 8 other runs on that drive by running backs. That was a clinic for the offensive line.
Exactly.
That was taking the Skins defensive line and linebackers to school, my friend. Taking them to school. They were moving bodies out there. Mm-hmm. And everybody on that offensive line, especially on the left side of that offensive line, where you're running behind Jason Peters, and you're running behind Isaac Seumalo, who I've had my doubts about, and you're running behind a guy like Jason Kelce, who could be versatile and get ahead of everybody, they were moving bodies on that side of the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thing of beauty. It was poetry. It was watching poetry in motion.
Yeah, they did a good job, man. And then also, you even mixed Dillard in there a couple times, had it as an extra tight end.
Yeah, goal line. line, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think they did a good job of just getting out there and just moving people around and taking the game, doing what they needed to do to just keep it, keep the clock moving and staying ahead of the downs.
21-9 was the differential in time of possession in the second half.
Woo!
21-9, and three and a half of those minutes for Washington came on that final drive where the Eagles were just letting them run the clock.
Yeah, you guys have your fun.
Yeah, you guys, because Jim Schwartz doesn't know that people in Philadelphia bet the Eagles, so, you know, stop there. Might have been going a long way.
I tweeted that he's welcome to Venmo me my lost money from yesterday.
Oh.
Still waiting,
you're
Jim.
You're one of those guys now?
Well, I mean, 4th and 15, come on. Come on, man. Just Venmo me. Same as my Twitter handle. Just send it over, Jim.
We're all just with gambling being the way that it is now, and this, it's great. Full season, it is great. But does it make like even more people quote unquote fantasy football owners?
Kinda.
Because like let's all, I mean, fantasy football is gambling light, right?
Yeah.
It's gambling light. Is how I like to describe it. Mm-hmm. So now that we're all even more in, it's just like now everyone is that guy.
Yeah, it's great.
And guess what? I'm that guy.
We were listening to Tyrone and Pat yesterday. They do the Green Zone live in game. Mm-hmm. It's presented, you know, by Sugar House. So like they're talking about all the live odds and stuff going on. It was pretty funny to watch those two reacting to all the ever-changing odds.
Yep. Well, I took a hit too yesterday, folks. So it's whatever. Nobody cares. Mike and Delran, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
We're undefeated!
What's up, brother?
What's up, man? So, you know what? I agree with Graham. Like, I didn't, at no point did I feel like they couldn't win the game. I definitely was pounding my chest about how mad I was that nobody played the preseason that first half. I mean, it was very obvious that nobody was in rhythm. And to go down 17-0 at home like that, it's tough to claw back from, but you know, I thought maybe there was a time machine somewhere in the Lake of Angels that I wasn't aware of, because it looked like 2016 Doug calling them plays in the first half. I didn't understand the 3rd and 8 screen passes to Sproles. I don't know why we got Howard if we were just going to run Sproles on 3rd down. I was getting frustrated with a lot of play calling, but Carson Wentz came out and like you just said, he showed America why he was an MVP candidate 2 seasons ago. He guy's a stud. And, it was so exciting to see the, you know, 2 passes of over 50 yards, touchdowns to Deshaun Jackson, man, reliving that. It was just awesome. I'm excited. I'm glad they got the cobweb shaking, you know, shook off. I don't like that Atlanta lost yesterday, so I'm looking forward to the Sunday night game next week. But just good to have the game back. It was good to watch the game back. You know, the second half team coming out there and playing the way they did and with the rhythm they did. I thought the defense looked better in the second half. It was just exciting. I really didn't have many concerns. I thought it was a great game.
Yeah, it really was, and especially the way they responded in the second half. But, I mean, Trey pointed out earlier, when you play that other team like the Falcons, who are a better team than the Skins, you better be better. Like you better be more prepared. That rust better not be there again. And we all know throughout the season last year, Carson Wentz had trouble getting this offense started early in that first quarter. So hopefully they're able to come out of the gate better Sunday night.
Yeah, I expect to see a better start next week. Go Birds!
Go Birds, baby. Thanks for the call, brother.
I don't know if we can expect better starts real quick. I mean, they didn't do it all last year, and they didn't do it in this first. We can't expect it. It would be nice to see. Mm-hmm. And maybe now that Carson got the rust off, as you said, Mark, maybe they do come out. But, man, they were horrible in the first quarter last year, and it carried over to yesterday.
But you know what? Yeah, you know what, Bob? You know what we were watching last year? We were watching Carson Wentz.
Not the real Carson Wentz.
We were watching that 2018 Carson Wentz.
Ah.
Who had that those great numbers. Great numbers. But did he look like the guy in 2017?
Did he look like the guy yesterday?
He did not.
No.
And there was no better play than in the third quarter, I believe it was. They're on a 3rd down, and he does not have his original play, does not have his original target. He's got to go through his progressions. He escapes the pocket, extends the play, rolling to his left, and fires the ball downfield to Alshon Jeffrey for the 1st down. That play was 2017 Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. There was movement, mobility within the pocket. He didn't do anything stupid. He didn't try to, you know, overreach to make something happen. He made something develop without reaching for it. He didn't make the over-aggressive play where he's trying to, you know, throw a bomb on that play to Deshaun Jackson right down the field. No, he extended the play, got to where nobody was around him, and delivered the ball. That was vintage 2017 Carson Wentz.
Yeah, he was perfect. I think in his decision-making yesterday, he was as crisp as mid-season form. He rolled out at all the right times, and I said it to Andrew yesterday. I said it to Bob early this morning. I think he's a top-5 quarterback in the league for throws on the run. I think it's Rodgers, Mahomes,
Russell Wilson and him, and he was fantastic yesterday. The few times he did roll out at the proper times, he was tremendous.
Well, you mentioned perfect. He was on third down.
Yeah.
A perfect passer rating.
It's 158. Stop acting like he threw three touchdowns on third down. Please.
11 for 12 for just under 200 yards, 197 yards, and three touchdowns.
That seems pretty, I would say, elite-ish.
But that Baker Mayfield, watch out.
Yeah.
Watch out for him. Chris in Allentown, what's happening, brother?
Good morning, guys. Talk about a snap count. Let's put Sproles on a 4-snap count. That would be just perfect.
Wow.
36 years old. Yeah, you got 4 snaps. You got 4 snaps, yeah, Darren.
That sounds good to me. And Miles Sanders, just to jump on that running, that one drive with the running, Miles Sanders got robbed with that phantom home call yesterday.
Oh, that was horrible.
He should have his first NFL touchdown. That was ridiculous.
Well, that was Arthego, right? Arthego Whiteside getting called that one? Yeah. No Moss. No Moss.
Nah, that was horrible. Was but awful. You know what? Like, Jim Schwartz, guys, I've been calling for his head for the last 2 years, man. We got Matt Ryan coming up. We got Matthew Stafford coming up. We got Aaron Rodgers coming up the next 3 games. And we just made Case Keenum look like Joe Theismann out there. I am worried about this defense, guys.
Yeah, we're all worried about it, but they did make adjustments. They started to really cut into that, especially in the second half. First 3 possessions were the possessions where the Redskins really were beating up on the Eagles. They made their adjustments. They cut that, you know, by a quarter at least. So, look, going forward, you can't have the same problems you had last year, especially with Sticks defense and all that type of stuff. You can't have the same thing. And at some point, you have to be a little bit more aggressive at the line of scrimmage if you're not getting penetration from your front four.
If there was, when you look back, there was a 3rd-and-3 with Sol Douglas. Like, you know, we play that Stick defense. And I literally looked at my wife and I said to her, I said, look, he's looking right at the receiver. Sol Douglas is 12 yards off the freaking ball. And he gets a first down. Like, what? I would have thrown it to the guy, too. He already had only a 12-yard cushion on him. This Jim Schwartz has got to go, or he's got to adjust the way he plays. You got this great Chris.
Hold on. I have to cut him off. I'm going to let you finish, Chris.
I'm with you, Chris.
But, Chris, it's let's see. Okay, it's 7:39 right now, but at 7:38, you said basically can't go on with Jim Schwartz. You are the first person of the 2019 season to want to move on from a head coach, assistant coach, whatever it might be. Congratulations, Chris!
He did it!
Yes! And they won!
I'm happy they won, but you know, at the same time, though, if you just bring those corners up and give our defensive linemen a half second more to get to the quarterback, we're going to get more sacks. We're going to get more production on first, second, and third down from our defensive line. You can't keep putting these guys 12, 15 yards off the wide receivers, or you're going to get exactly what we saw yesterday, or where Vernon Davis burns us, you know, at the end of the day. Hey, guys, I'll leave one more note, man. I'm happy to see DeSean Jackson back. The offense looked great in the second half. I called it. I told my buddy, I was like, hey, man, we get the ball back after the half. We scored one. We're down 6. We're going to win this football game. So I'm excited. We're 1-0, but I'm worried about the next 3 quarterbacks that we got to face, though, guys.
Chris, we are as well. And, you know, hopefully they'll take your advice. That Jim Schwartz fellow be gone.
Oh, God, I wish.
Chris, thanks for the call. I didn't fire Jim Schwartz last year. I know a lot of people wanted to do that, especially after the Panthers game. Oh, Jim Schwartz needs to be fired immediately. I'm not going to fire the guy that just helped me win a Super Bowl. I know that they allowed, Trey, what was the official number? Was it 1,000,005 yards in the Super Bowl that they allowed?
Yeah.
I think that was the official. I think it was a record or something
like that, yeah.
But I'm not firing that guy. I had the same thought during the early goings of the game yesterday. They made their adjustment. I have the numbers somewhere in my notes here. I'll pull them up. Bob's firing
No. I said to Chris, I'm on board with you. I didn't mean about the firing. Oh. No, I'm not that.
Okay.
I'm on board with really concerned about this defense. And the adjustments in the second half, there was 2 real big reasons that Washington didn't move the ball in the second half. One, as we talked about, the Eagles had the ball all the time. And 2, Washington made mistakes. There wasn't a lot that made me say, yeah, the Eagles stopped them. They stopped themselves, and the offense being on the field stopped them.
All right, we'll get into that a little bit later. And then there was a little subject that happened, a little thing that happened at the tailgate yesterday that we have to get into in a minute here. Regardless of fault or anything like that, it's an embarrassing look.
Yeah.
Is the best way to, I think, put it. We'll get in that in a few here on 97.5. The Fanatic. We also got Brian, we got Daryl, we got James, we got open lines after that, 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 7:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I know a lot of opinions, a lot of hot takes, a lot of piping hot takes have been thrown out there regarding Mike Scott being at the tailgate yesterday. Now, I was at the 4th and John tailgate. I was waiting on Mike Scott's arrival when news started to circulate that he had been involved in an altercation. So I went to where I was told the altercation were and was, and nobody saw nothing, right? So now watching the original clip that came... No, watch.
That's because you're Mark the Narc.
Yeah.
No one saw anything.
No. Here he comes.
Oh, here comes Mark the Narc. Don't you say a word.
Hide the coffin.
Yeah, pretty much. Here's the thing. I was waiting for him to show up, didn't show up, got the word, went to investigate a little bit, and then I saw a little bit later the... video that had surfaced, and I went, well, that's not a good look. And then I saw later in the day a longer video that surfaced, and I was like, well, that doesn't look good. Now, regardless of who's at fault in all this, because that's not going to be known for some time here. I'm sure there's going to be, the Sixers released a statement saying they're still gathering information. We look really bad in Philadelphia because of that nationally. Now, here's what I'll say. National media can kiss my ass. Like, as far as they go, to hell with you. All right, we know the real story here in Philadelphia. We know who we really are in Philadelphia. Regardless, I'm not even talking about national media. I'm just talking about us as a city, as a fan base. That is a horrible look regardless of who is at fault. I can't imagine that Mike Scott went down there. And by the way, said for the longest time, yeah, he's going to wear a Redskins jersey. And he's a Redskins fan, and that's okay. Does that mean everyone... Okay, so let me start at the beginning here. We knew he was going to go down there in the Skins jersey. He even told us that a couple of weeks ago when he was on with us. He is a Redskins fan. I think what kind of happened in this scenario was that people were breaking stones. He walked in to a tailgate, realized it was the wrong tailgate, felt threatened. Guy said some stuff they shouldn't have. Disrespect was going all around, and a fight broke out, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know who started the whole thing. I don't know if the guy had a drink thrown on him. From the one video, it looked like somebody threw something at Mike Scott. Then it looked like his people were trying to pull him out of that situation. And then, people started grabbing. A punch was thrown. Other guys were knocked to the ground. I'm really curious to see all the more information that comes out of this, so I'm not going to throw a piping hot take in your face. But if your defense of how we acted as a fan base is, well, he had another team's jersey on, then, advance a little bit past a prehistoric thought. Like, that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah, I saw plenty of people walking around in Redskins jerseys that were, having fun.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to four guys from D.C., that were wearing Washington jerseys after the game in front of a whole slew of Eagles fans that were leaving the stadium, and nothing but normal ball breaking stones. That's all it was. Nobody was beating their ass. Nothing was going on with that. No punches were thrown. Everybody was cool. Hey, better luck next time, whatever. You guys suck. That was it. Nothing crazy.
Right.
They were fine.
Yeah.
So you want to set up your defense of anything, if it was the fault of some Eagles fans, your defense is, oh, well, he was wearing a jersey. If that's your first thought, okay, all right. You've just pretty much acknowledged your own intelligence level.
Yeah, I you're looking at us for a response, but you said it all. It doesn't even warrant a response. I was a little leery of even talking about it. I mean, obviously, we have to talk about it, but I don't want these guys to get their so-called, 15 minutes of fame because they're idiots. I mean, that's just, or they acted idiotically, I should say. I don't know them, so to call them idiots is wrong. But he didn't go down there with any intent, Mike Scott.
Yeah.
Of starting anything. He let everybody know and can't wait to get to the tailgate. Oh, yeah, I'm a Redskins fan, by the way. Okay. come have some fun.
And I will say
why
this.
Why it has to turn bad, I don't know.
Now, being a guy, I've been around Mike Scott a couple of times. Well, he's done these fan interactions. There's nobody that's been more gracious. Let me just say that. So I have a hard time believing that he went down there to pick a fight. All right, so let's get that out of the way. But with that being said, what I think happened, if I just drawing from the video and some people I've talked to, he walked into a situation where he thought maybe it was just going to be some fun, you know, like kidding around, and then realized things got serious.
Yeah.
Now, that's maybe how it started. But regardless, once you realize you're in the wrong spot, just get the hell out.
Yeah, just get out of there.
If you're Mike Scott and you realize that maybe you're walking into the wrong scene, get the hell out of there, because nothing good is going to come from that situation.
Yeah.
And I know that we all love the phrase "I ain't no bitch," which is what Mike Scott has told us many times. I even kidded him with him while he was on with us a couple of weeks ago about it. That situation, just get the hell out.
Yeah,
like run, fight or flight. Flight the hell out of the situation. And what was also funny was I did enjoy seeing the postings. Like, he was just, like, nothing had happened. Uh-huh. He was at the stadium enjoying the game and, like, hanging out with people.
Some selfies.
Now, look, we don't know all the details, which is why we're not jumping to conclusions on either side here. It's pure speculation at this point. But bottom line is, if that situation you're in, get the hell out of the situation. If you're, Trey, if you're at the tailgate, you were having a great time with everybody. If things start to get a little hairy, it's time to leave, right?
Oh, absolutely. I know when to go. And, you know, and then, like, when you have certain situations, you got to ignore it, you know, just because you have everything to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So, getting a fight with these cats, I mean, what does that do?
Mm-hmm.
You go and whoop this drunk guy that can't even stand up correctly. He can't even stand up, you know. And so, what do you get out of it? And I get it, you know, so you get in there, you start going back and forth, somebody calls you out your name, a racial slur is used, whatever the situation is, then a drink is thrown on you. When disrespect is like that, you feel like you got to stand up. But I mean, when you have so much to lose, just walk away.
That's all I could think of.
Or don't even put yourself in that situation, because when I see the video, why was he walking up into the crowd like that, you know what I'm saying? To where it's like it was, I don't know, you know, but until I get all of the information, I don't want to just...
Well, real quick, on that, because again, we don't have all the information. So I'm trying to justify Mike Scott going over to that tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, like, he is a fan-friendly guy. Like, I've seen him with the fans and at the race. He's going to maybe have a cheesesteak with this guy in the not-too-distant future. I've seen him handing out ice cream to people, like, at the Art Museum steps. He was in studio at the Fanatic when Anthony had him in when he was filling in for Mike a couple of weeks ago. We interviewed him a couple of weeks ago. Like, he's a very fan-friendly guy. So my justification, or my trying to rationalize this, was... at least the beginning of it was, did he think those guys were just breaking stones? He walked over there, ha-ha, yay, guys, what's up? Think he was going to have a couple of drinks. Realize, oh, wait, this ain't the scene. Uh-huh. This isn't where I'm supposed to be. Or were they trash-talking him, as I've heard some people say, and then he came over, and then things got out of hand. But I have heard people bringing up that term, and Jamie, I know you talked to some people as well.
Yeah.
But I've heard people talking about a possible racial slur that was thrown about.
I've heard that from many people.
But I'll say this. When you watch the videos, you don't hear anything being shouted out.
No.
You see something possibly being thrown at Mike Scott.
It definitely looks like drinks were thrown in his face. And like Trey said, he obviously felt like a fight or flight situation because he had three or four guys coming at him after a drink was thrown in his face, after a racial slur, some people have said happened. I get why he felt like fight or flight.
Right, but at the same time, if that's what drew him over there, he's in the wrong for even going over there.
Yeah, but he did, you know, he was trying to do something that was very cool and go around to a bunch of different tailgates. So we don't know if he was even, he might have been invited there. Yeah. I've heard that there was maybe a microphone there, and they may have called
attention. Oh, there was definitely a microphone.
Yeah.
You can hear it in the video.
And they called attention to him, so maybe he did take the bait. But regardless, you know, Mike Scott's cool enough to know, like, some fun banter back and forth that's what he was there for.
Right.
Not the other stuff.
Well, that's why I say, if you know this guy a little bit, you know he's not going there to fight.
No.
Like, but you would think maybe he got the wrong impression that, oh, these guys will break stones.
That'll
be fun. And then once he got in there,
if they started ripping on him and he's going, oh, this will be fun, I'll go in there and have some fun with these guys.
Yeah, and
they're probably Sixers fans. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, and they're probably like, no, dog, we ain't. No, we're not playing. Like, this isn't where we're going to.
Which is dumb.
It is. But again, the bottom line is all of this.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.